Good day and welcome to the conference on ACLU complaints filed with Major Pharmacy. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marisa Kovacs. Please go ahead, madam.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We're convening this call to announce changes Meijer has agreed to make to their policies and training to ensure that all future customers will receive their prescriptions without undue delay. The changes are a result of negotiations we've carried out with Meijer for the past few months in a direct response to the treatment our client, Rachel Peterson, experienced last year when a pharmacist, for personal reasons, refused to fill her prescription to treat her miscarriage. We really appreciate Meijer's swift response to our complaint. They changed their trainings and policies to ensure that all future Meijer Pharmacy customers will receive their prescriptions and that no customers face discrimination like Rachel Peterson did. So under Meijer's new policies, one, if a customer calls in or presents a prescription to a pharmacist who has a religious objection to filling that prescription, a second pharmacist will take over and immediately fill the prescription. Two, in a very rare instance, when a second pharmacist is not present, the on-duty pharmacist will call the prescription into another nearby Meijer pharmacy, which will immediately deliver it to the original pharmacy. In most cases, this should take no more than 30 minutes to an hour, and the longest time this should take is 2 hours. Customers will receive their prescriptions seamlessly without knowing that a pharmacist has an objection, and no Meijer employee will shame customers for taking medication prescribed by their doctor. And then finally, Meijer is currently training all of their pharmacy staff on the new policies, and new employees will be trained as part of their orientation. But the real reason we're here today to make this announcement is all because Rachel Peterson and her bravery and willingness to come forward, share her story, and shine a light on this issue. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to her right now. Rachel, do you have a statement you'd like to give?
Yes. Thank you, Marisa. I appreciate everyone who called in today and your efforts into continuing to bring attention to this situation. My whole goal in this was to make sure no one had to endure the humiliation and horror I went through last year. And with this new policy, it sets a precedent and puts other pharmacies on notice because everyone has the right to their medication and to receive it free from judgment. And as a woman, I feel that losing a pregnancy is one of the most difficult experiences a person can endure. Women should be able to receive the medication they need from pharmacists with compassion and dignity. It's not the job of a pharmacist to accuse, speculate, and or shame a woman who is actively enduring a miscarriage. If this behavior is allowed to continue in the pharmaceutical field, women's rights will greatly suffer. As women, we must educate ourselves and advocate for our medical rights. We have been in the dark for too long, and it's time to take active roles in our own medical care. I'm hoping with more awareness and transparency around this issue, that women can feel more comfortable coming forward if they have been denied proper and dignified care. I want them to know they are not alone and that they have people on their side. I'm very happy Meijer decided to do the right thing, and I'm very pleased with the policy. I have comfort knowing that patients will receive their prescription, especially without ridicule. So thank
you. Okay, and with that, I think we're ready to take any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1. We'll take our first question from Virginia Gordon from Michigan Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. And can I just ask as a first question how Melissa pronounces her name, because this is radio?
It's Marisa. It's Marisa Kovacs.
Kovacs, thank you very much. I'm wondering if you could tell me what is new about the policy compared to what Meijer had in place in October when you wrote the letter of complaint.
So Certainly. It's our understanding that when we wrote the letter of complaint, if there was a pharmacist on staff who had a personal reason for not filling a prescription, that pharmacist was supposed to have a second pharmacist on duty fill the prescription. And in the event that one was not available, that prescription would be transferred to an alternative pharmacy. On top of that, there wasn't as intensive of a training program in place at the time that we wrote the complaint.
So could I just try to get some clarity? Is the new part that, because Meyer told me at the time that that was their policy, what you just said, but so is the new part that Meyer has to get it filled by another Meyer pharmacist and get it delivered without anybody expressing their religious beliefs in the meantime?
Yeah, certainly. That the pharmacists on duty will be trained to not provide the customer service and the shaming that Rachel went through, but that it's the responsibility of Meyer as the pharmacy to prescribe and give the prescription to any customer and to not discriminate against customers. Certainly, a individual pharmacist has the right to their personal beliefs, and then if the pharmacy, being Meyer, is going to accommodate those beliefs, it's incumbent on them that they provide every single customer the care that they need.
And is the difference between the old policy and the new one, was that before, if there was no second pharmacist, Meyer would just transfer the prescription to another pharmacy and it would be the person's problem to go get it, no matter where it was, whereas now Meyer actually has to get it to the customer? Is that the big difference?
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood what the big difference was. So thank you. I have another question if other people don't.
Okay, go ahead.
So I just have two questions. They're sort of factual. One is, do you know what happened to the pharmacist in this case? What Meyer did to the gentleman, the pharmacist who denied the prescription to Ms. Peterson?
We know that the pharmacist is no longer an employee of Meyer, but we don't know the reasons why.
Okay. And the other thing is, I was wondering if you're able to tell me, I know on the press release it says that the terrible incident that Ms. Peterson faced is not isolated. Are you able to give me any sense of how big of a problem this is, either in Michigan or nationwide, the kind of thing that happened to her?
I'm not sure we're able to quantify how prevalent this is, but certainly as a result of Ms. Peterson sharing her case, many other women and customers at other pharmacies have come forward. So what's really great about what Ms. Peterson was willing to do by coming forward is shining a light on an issue that has been in the dark for so long.
I have one more question, if I can.
Go ahead.
I'd just be interested to ask Ms. Peterson, if you don't mind. First of all, thank you very much for your willingness to talk about this. I'm wondering if you could tell me more about the phone call that you got from the Meyer Vice President of Pharmacy, when you got it, and what this person said.
Yes, I don't mind telling you. I just had a meeting or a phone call with him on Tuesday, and he was very apologetic and empathetic about the situation and seemed actually quite appalled on what my husband and I went through. He definitely talked about the policy and clarified any discrepancies or concerns I've had with the policy, and made me feel a lot more comfortable that they are doing everything they can to make sure this does not happen to anyone again. And as long as they continue to do their due diligence with this, that it should drastically minimize this from happening to anyone. So he He was very nice, and I have very much appreciated the phone call.
And can I also ask you just to give me a sense of what this was like for you when it happened last July? When you were refused by the...
It was devastating. You know, it's still very difficult to talk about. And, you know, I was hurt. I was confused. I was angry. I didn't understand how someone could be so... like unhuman and understand what I was going through, especially one of the most difficult parts and moments in my life, and calling me a liar and just no sympathy or empathy for me whatsoever. It was quite eye-opening. I'd never received that type of treatment before, nor observed it.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry to bring back very bad memories.
Oh, that's okay. You know, that's, I'm glad that we're able, that I'm able to talk about it. So again, that other women have someone, you know, to relate to and know that this is not okay. And it's okay to talk about to make sure this continuously does not happen again.
I really
thank
appreciate
you
your time.
Oh, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your efforts in bringing more attention to this.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. We'll take our next question from Brian McVicar from Grand Rapids Press. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. I'm just wondering, Marissa, just to confirm, this is something that Meyer entered into voluntarily. And also, can you talk about, I guess, their willingness to negotiate on these changes? Were the nature of the negotiations pretty amicable, or was there any friction involved?
One, you are correct. Meyer voluntarily entered into these negotiations, and they recognized immediately that what their pharmacist did was wrong back in October. They've been working with us since then to implement this training and the new policy gradually. So we're very grateful for their quick response to this.
Okay, very good. And just a question for Rachel. Are you willing to say where you're from? In the story, when we're writing about this incident, I just maybe like to give readers an idea of, you know, what part of the state you live in. I understood that this took place, correct me if I'm wrong, up in Petoskey was the Meyer where this happened at. Are you willing to say kind of where you're from, Rachel?
Yes, that's fine. It's been brought up in the past. My husband and I currently live in Ionia, Michigan. We have family up
okay.
in the Petoskey area. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Dawn Wolf from Daily Cuss. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for having this call. I was wondering first, I've been looking up and trying to find the exact Michigan law, but your press materials say that Meyer did not act in accordance with Michigan law. What is the exact law regarding refusal, or they call it conscience clauses, for pharmacists in our state right now?
We don't have an exact law on the books for a conscience clause for pharmacists right now.
And so it's up to each individual pharmacy to create their own policies then, that's correct?
Yeah, you know, this moment, I'm going to turn this over to our legal director, who's also joining us, Michael Steinberg.
Hi. Yes, this is Michael Steinberg. I'm the legal director for the ACLU of Michigan. The law that was violated here by the individual pharmacists is the Michigan Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, which prohibits sex discrimination in the provision of public services. And the way it would have worked, and we're thrilled that Meyer's worked with us to figure out a solution to this problem. But if Ms. Peterson, or if a man came to this particular pharmacist and sought the prescription, which is misoprostol, to treat his stomach ulcer, he would have been provided with the medication. The medication is it treats many symptoms, and he would have received it. But because Ms. Peterson was a woman, she was denied service, and that is in direct contradiction to the Michigan Civil Rights Act, the Elliott-Larsen Civil Rights Law. And, you know, if another pharmacy does something similar, they open themselves up to liability in state court, or there could be a complaint filed with the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Here, Meyer acted quickly and to everybody's satisfaction, and that was not necessary.
Do you have a sense of the other major pharmacy chains in Michigan, what their how their policies stack up, or have you heard from other pharmacy chains asking you to talk with them about how to create best practices?
No, we haven't.
Okay. And then one question for Ms. Peterson, if I may. I understand from previous news accounts that your mother called this Meyer pharmacist to give him a piece of her mind, and he actually started relaying personal information to her, not even knowing that, you know, she could have been anyone. How did that feel to you? I'm so sorry, again, to be another person bringing up a bad memory, but that just astonished me.
That was quite shocking to me as well, especially I work in the medical field, and that is the number one thing that you are not allowed to do is violate HIPAA. And as someone in the medical field like himself, I couldn't believe that he did that. And nowhere in my record is my mother or anyone else allowed to be spoken to about my personal health information. So that was a great concern to me as well with Myers, to making sure that that's not able to be, that information's not being able to be divulged either.
Thank you. And thank you for making the time to do this. One last thing, if I might, do you think the fact that you are in the medical field, it gave you a base of knowledge to be able to file a complaint and be public with this in a way perhaps that other customers or women seeking health care might not have the opportunity to do?
I think it helped give me a little bit more courage, because I knew the drug had other alternative forms of treatment, not just for what I was going through, but I had no idea what was violated, and that's when I had reached out to the ACLU to, I just knew something was not right legally. And, you know, with their help and guidance, you know, it brought so much more education to the subject for me. And that's another determining factor on what made me come forward, is to make sure that other women and everyone knew their rights in this situation.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It appears that there are no further questions at this time. Ms. Kovacs, I would like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. I just want to thank everyone for joining us today.
I'd like to extend my gratitude to the ACLU, especially Marissa and Michael. You know, without your dedication and support, this would not have been possible. And I just want to also thank, you know, the press to bring light to this situation again, and my family and my husband and friends for the encouragement and support and love throughout this entire process, because I couldn't have done it without any one of you.